Wowie, wow. We've got a new hot sauce for you.
It's so delicious.
It's spicy.
It's spicier for sure.
Spicier. It's called Harvest Moon, made with ghost peppers, American persimmons,
and spice bush berry.
It's going to be great. We also have t-shirts available. Brand new t-shirts.
The best t-shirts, I think.
Baseball tees.
Scrumpers United.
If you've collected apples, if you've collected fruit, you're
welcome
a scrumper.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to a club. You're a scrumper. So check out our merch store, wildedibleworldpod.myshopify.com. Wowie, wow! Get hype for another episode of the Wild Edible World podcast. I'm just one of your hosts. Just one. And I'm Michael.
And I'm just two. My name's Steve. We are here with Mr. Douglas Patterson, a local to our area.
Yeah, definitely. We haven't met him yet, but just we like talking to people that work in the environment that we kind of do. Seems like a really interesting person. Not much of an online presence, so we can't give you an at to follow him or anything, but hopefully this episode will do you well. Thanks so much for joining us, Doug. Liss.
Yeah, no problem, guys. I appreciate the ability to come on here and chat.
Yeah, man. It was really cool to have you reach out and say that you're interested in being on the show, so we're really happy to have you on and talk about all the really cool stuff that you're doing. Kind of the highlights... My highlights that I took away from what you told me is like the Icelandic sheep.
Those things
cool as hell.
Awesome. Yeah, they are. They're a bit wily. Right now, I have about 9 sheep right now, 1 ram, and all the females are pregnant.
Oh, so wow!
We'll be having sheep.
Wow! Congratulations.
Yeah. It was laziness on my part. Well, not really lazy. I've just been kind of caught up with my wife being pregnant and whatnot and having a baby.
Babies all around.
I fell a little bit behind. Yeah, we were going to hold off breeding the sheep this year, and then this happened. So
they took care of it themselves.
Another undertaking, for sure.
Hey, good problems,
yeah,
you know.
They are they're wonderful animals. They're absolutely beautiful. They have gorgeous long coats, but they are, I'd say, on the aggressive side. They like to jump. These things have horns. So you have to, get in there and wrangle them around and make sure you're... Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shearing them is no easy feat.
And, right.
I'm still learning on shearing. I don't have the best shearing equipment. These coats on these sheep is unbelievably thick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you raise them and you groom them for wool, and then do you get like sheep's milk from them too, or what do you do?
No, we don't do the sheep's milk. I mean, I could. I don't have the time to do the daily rigmarole of
sure.
milking them.
Sure.
In my situation right now, my current work situation. But what we do is we save the wool. We can send that off, and essentially people will clean it, and then we get it back in, yarn. Like balls of yarn.
Sure.
And I mean, it's something I'm still learning how to do as far as, I haven't personally made anything out of the wool. We have butchered the animals. I traded a ram for maybe 16 apple trees.
Whoa.
So like babies. Yeah. So I was bartering. So I met this guy on Craigslist. He's awesome. You guys should talk to him eventually. But I traded apple trees, and I mean, amazing apple trees, Liberty, chestnut crab, wine sap.
Nice.
This one called Sweet 16 from Size Trees in Michigan. He's an amazing grower out there. But yeah, he came over. We, you know, where my farm's located, it's surrounded by schools and neighborhoods. So we just kind of turned up the tractor really loud.
Yeah.
And took it out with a 22.
Sure.
Bled it out over a trash can. I know this is pretty extreme, but I got the genetics of apple trees out of the deal. I figured it's a something I can make is I can produce sheep and I can barter.
Yeah.
Do that sort of stuff with it.
That's the way things are done, man.
Yeah. I like to give it as gifts and whatnot. And it's fantastic grass fed, no
sure.
grain, no hormones or anything like that. I did have a rough patch 2 years ago with my sheep. I lost half of my sheep to worms.
Oh, no way.
And essentially it's a worm that starts in their first stomach in one of their chambers,
mm-hmm.
and essentially starves them to death. They get a super high, not super high, but their blood flow stops. They get white gums, white underneath their eyes.
Oh my gosh.
We were just finding dead sheep, and it took forever for me to figure it out. But luckily I have an amazing vet that I sent stool samples to, and he was able to tell me what kind of bacteria it was,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to fix them with ivermectin, of all things.
Yeah, sure. There you go. I mean, yeah, it's a clinical animal veterinary dewormer. Good for you for taking good care of your animals, man.
Yep.
I did get a little ahead of myself, though. I got excited and asked about the sheep. I wanted what we're really here to hear about, though. I'm interested in like what the first thing you ever foraged was. You can't remember, like, did you learn that from your family, or was it like the rest of us just like randomly grabbing berries?
You know, one of my earliest memories, like, my parents had a farm in Plainfield, and my earliest memories eating poisonous red berries, and just immediately I was probably like 4 years old, and I remember eating them and it tasting like absolute trash. It was horrible. That's when I didn't pick bear, you know, I was a dumb little kid. I didn't know any better. Like, they were pretty,
they were red, but delicious.
Yeah. But growing up on my farm, we had mulberry trees, white mulberry trees. The berries are actually red, but it's considered a white mulberry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I would just climb the tree and go up there and just eat mulberries for hours. You know, not washing them. And obviously there's birds and everything that are up in the tree, so they can get kind of gross. But once again, I was young and I didn't care. I wasn't washing off the fruit or anything.
I still do that now.
Yeah, you're fine. You were fine. Yeah, that's pretty idyllic, if you ask me.
But I've always been kind of a nature kid. I was in Boy Scouts growing up, so constantly camping and kind of getting to know nature, and I kind of fell in love with it.
Good.
I think my first project of growing stuff was my first project. I grew a bunch of peppers when I was like 13 14. It was right around when habaneros were starting to pop up. I'm 33 now.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of always had this neck to growing things, being on a farm. My family's always been about gardening and doing that sort of stuff. But I'd say in the last 3 years, since I've been married, it ramps up every day. every day I'm constantly trying to find something new to plant in the area, or, you know, the new crops out here.
Are you on a pretty decent amount of land then?
Right now I'm living on about three acres, mm-hmm. and my parents have 16 acres.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Nice.
And so I bale all of our own hay for the sheep.
Awesome.
Load it up into the barn and do all of that stuff. So it's not everything all at once. It's very daunting when you throw everything on one piece of paper, but you know, each thing can take a certain amount of time. You just got to diversify your time properly.
Sure.
And you can really manage a lot.
Yeah, I always got a F on that in my grade card in elementary school. The notes were always talks a lot and F in time management. And look at me now.
Yeah.
I got 1,000 hobbies.
Yeah, people always tell me I need to like narrow down my hobbies, but
that's
can't
no fun.
Seem to do that.
Those are not interesting people. You are an interesting person.
I have a lot to talk about. I definitely have a lot to talk about. It's constantly going. My wife calls it bee brain. I'm focused on one thing and I can't hear what else is going on in the world.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, it's a nice place to be sometimes, though. The world is loud and full of horrors.
You're amongst friends here. We're all very like-minded. We're all some form of gardener, forager, super into animals and plants. And
Steve grows chickens. I grow all sorts of, I grow hazelnuts and prickly pear out of my parents' property. So definitely mirroring.
Amazing.
A lot of these, so tell us a little bit about something that you like. Got really excited about finding this year. Is there anything in 2023 that you picked for the first time, or
2023? It would have been multiple things.
What was your favorite?
My favorite obsession right now. It's a tie. It's a tie between figs and kiwi berries.
Heck yeah.
Kiwi berries are that cold hardy tree, right?
It's actually a vine, not a vine. It's a vine. So like a vine, a grapevine, it's got a main stalk and then it shoots out little tendrils and it grabs stuff. The kiwi berries it's a vine. So it uses its main stalk to coil around things, and it will actually, I mean, it kind of looks like a vine, it acts like it, but it just doesn't have grippers.
So are you saying vine with a B?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I started doing a lot of research, trying to figure out different varieties, because I bought one from Sam's Club. And I was like, you know what? I've never seen this before. And then as soon as I got home, I'm like, went onto the computer and just, I couldn't stop thinking about kiwi berries for months and months and months. But I started researching who is in charge of the head of research and this stuff. And it's this, I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he's a professor in New Hampshire, and he has like he has thousands of varieties of kiwi berries.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I had no idea that there was thousands. There's red ones. There's they're all skinless.
Oh, dang. See, I was going to ask, are there any fuzzy ones?
That I'm not sure.
I want a fuzzy
one.
Not
sure. But if people are interested in kiwi berries, there's a place in Michigan called Hartman's. And you can buy a specific type called Geneva 3. I think they have like six different variations, but the Geneva 3 is this one that this guy named Yago in New Hampshire developed. And it's supposed to be the most delicious. It's the more large size, but I mean, that's what I'm going to be getting this year, is I'm just going to buy a bunch of those. And they propagate really easily. I just took just green cuttings, and they would just root super easy.
That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, they grow 23 feet tall about 3 to 5 years, and they have up to 200 pounds of kiwis. Kiwi berries growing up.
What the heck?
So I have an arbor that I currently have 4 female kiwi plants growing up, and you need male kiwi plants as well to pollinate.
And what do we call that, kids? Dioecious.
Yes, sir. And I mean, it's a new thing. I hear that they can handle up to negative 45 degrees. They're from
perfect.
Russia, supposedly, or Asia.
You're about to find out.
So, I mean, it's just in case they didn't survive, I took cuttings before the frost, and I rooted them in my grow room.
Very
just
cool.
In case they don't make it.
Nice. So, yeah, you sent us a picture of the little grow room that you have there. Are those, you mentioned having an affinity for figs as well. Were those figs in there, or they kind of look like sassafras?
Yes.
Okay.
That's fine.
There's quite a few things in there right now. I have mulberries, figs, and then I am bonsaiing a catalpa tree.
Oh my God, you just hit wow. You just hit a bullseye in me I didn't even know I had by combining one of my favorite trees for no reason. I mean, besides the reason that it's just beautiful, catalpa.
Yeah.
And then you're bonsaiing it. That's
absolutely
so fun.
Gorgeous.
I want to see another picture of that.
Yeah. It's only one shoot right now. I'm trying to slow its growth by a smaller pot.
Mm-hmm.
Another weird project I wanted to do was take a bunch of native trees in our area and bonsai them. And just make, you know, sugar maple bonsai.
Please do.
Mulberry bonsai. And just have a bunch of our, what we got here in zone 5B.
I love it.
I think that is such a fun idea.
Yeah. But so the mulberry backstory, other than me being obsessed as a child, I got obsessed with figs at some point because they're related to mulberries. And my mom had a tree for like 15 years. She didn't know how to prune it or take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was super long, spindly, had never been outside, it never produced fruit.
And, it was an indoor tree? Oof.
Yeah, an indoor tree. And I mean, it was really beautiful, dinner sized plate, like leaves and whatnot, just never fruited. It's a Chicago hardy.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the first year that it has been pruned. I taught her how to prune it. So we got about 20 cuttings off of that.
That's great.
Tree. So we propagated all of those, and they all took, which is, they're the easiest things to take care of. But my ADD got off track with the mulberry stuff. I had a hernia earlier this year during summer, so I was off work, and I was like, you know what, I need to do something with my time because I can't sit still. So I went looking for berries because I wanted to make jam. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go just drive around and look for wet spots on the road. Because if you see wet spots, that's where you're going to see these mulberry trees just dumping mulberries. Sure. And I drove past this one spot. I'm like, oh, this seems awesome. And it was a graveyard.
Oh, sure.
And I went
yeah, foragers be like, no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. This
totally normal thing
property
to do.
So I went into the graveyard to this mulberry tree. And I went all over. I spent probably about 2 weeks driving around looking for mulberry trees. And I went to the parks and all of that. And I was looking for specific types, big berries, close nodes to each other. So very close spacing. And I found this at the graveyard. So I went there every 2 days and I picked about 5 to 6 to 7 pounds of berries off of like easy to grab branches.
That's awesome.
Wow. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. So I'm like, I have to have the genetics of this tree. So I went back and I took a bunch of cuttings and I'm going to grow that exact tree, but on my property with the sheep, with my chickens, because
heck yeah,
a fully developed mulberry tree can feed up to like 5 hogs.
That's awesome.
So,
wow.
If
I'm pruning it, and keeping it healthy, not wild or anything like that, it's free food for all my animals.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It's so good for them.
Yeah, have you tried eating them yourself?
Oh, I eat them constantly while I'm picking them. Constantly.
Nice.
So you have figs, yep, kiwi berries, mulberries, 16 apple trees. I'm coming over, Douglas.
Yes, absolutely. You guys are absolutely welcome. And, you know, I bought a bunch of nut trees. So nice. I'm doing, I did get two persimmon trees, American persimmon trees, and I planted them in the pasture because from what I read online, sheep do not eat the American persimmon trees. They don't like the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they ate both my trees. They ate both. And I'm like, this is miserable. I just put them in the ground, and it was this fall, right before winter. I did a bunch of planting, and
they didn't mention anything about Icelandic sheep.
Yeah, they didn't say anything about the Icelandic sheep. That's for sure.
That's a tragedy, though, man. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, you know, you live and you learn. I'm just going to have to put them outside of the pasture, kind of like everything else. But, you know, I'm only a year into planting all of these apple trees. So it's going to be a few years before I start reaping the benefits. But, you know, in the long run, the grand scheme of things, trading all of that for fully developed apple trees, I mean, it's a trade worthwhile.
Oh, totally worth it.
For sure. Wowie, wow. We've got a new hot sauce for you.
It's so delicious.
It's spicy.
It's spicier for sure.
Spicier. It's called Harvest Moon, made with ghost peppers, American persimmons,
and spice bush berry.
It's going to be great. We also have t-shirts available. Brand new t-shirts.
The best t-shirts, I think.
Baseball tees.
Scrumpers United.
If you've collected apples, if you've collected fruit, welcome to the club. You're a scrumper. So check out our merch store, wildedibleworldpod.myshopify.com. Wowie, wow!
Totally worth it.
What kind of nut trees are you working with?
What I got is American hazelnut, heart nut, butternut, black walnut, chestnut and northern pecan. It's quite beautiful. Quite the list.
That's awesome.
That's a nice spread.
I'm trying to hit all of them.
I just heard about Heart Nut this year. A friend of the pod, Jed Arkel, my bad, Jed, Drop Seed Ecology sells Heart Nut, and I was really thinking about getting them. Have you tried them before?
I think we're talking about the same guy.
Yeah, Jed's our dude.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Jed is my guy. He's the one I gave ice. He killed the Icelandic sheep.
Oh, that's the guy you're talking. Oh, that's so fun. I had no idea. Yeah, that totally tracks. He's got amazing crab apples and American plums. His nursery stock is just off the charts. It's so underrated.
Yes. I've been to his house. The guy is amazing. Jed is a one of a kind. I was trying to meet up with him. I texted him and he's like, can't really do anything now. I'm in northern Minnesota picking wild rice.
Mm-hmm. He's that dude.
Sounds about right.
That's Jed. Yeah, Jed is amazing. That's where I got all those apple trees from. So kudos to Jed.
For real. Yep, that's where I got my hazelnuts from. If I can get a plant from him, then that's where I'm buying it. It's just amazing stock. Well, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Small world.
Yeah, super small world. And the funny thing is I don't have the online presence, so it's I can't believe that. That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's pretty
funny. I don't know many people named Jed.
Well, I mean, there's only so many people out there growing and not only growing them, but selling these kinds of plants. And then to find one nearby you, Jed's in Illinois as well. So, yeah, I mean, it when you do the math, it makes sense, but it's always kind of fun to run into a mutual friend. So that's cool.
Yeah. He's definitely an inspiration. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're trying to have him on the show. Wink, Jed. Come on, man.
Yep. That's hilarious. So I've been kind of diversify my big tree varieties. I went through a gentleman called the Fig Hunter in, I think, Northern California, I want to say. Don't get me wrong, but he travels all over California while he's working and then stops along the highways and marks out on his GPS wild fig trees. And then comes back when it's fruiting season to taste the fruit. If he likes it, he cuts it, and then he propagates it at home and then sells those.
That's awesome.
But the Fig Hunter is also a really, really good connection if you're looking into fig tree genetics.
That's fun. I'd never heard of this guy. That's also a story I feel like I've heard before where it's like these priceless, or I guess not priceless since he's putting a price on them, but, you know, these incredibly valuable or thought to be lost genetics of these plants are literally just growing on the side of the highways. You just have to be aware enough and stop and take a look at them. And you can, there's like, yeah, I've just heard that story so many times, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that's where I was inspired to then be like, you know what? There's a mulberry tree in my area that's probably better than any of the other mulberry trees that's made it down the genetic line. And I'm like, I need to go find it. I want to find it because not all mulberry trees are the exact same.
So true.
They're not. They may look like it, but the flavors can be completely different, but I mean that could also be environmental and
it's definitely whatnot, a mixture of it's environmental and genetic for sure, because white mulberries just in general are known to be a like less quality fruit to the Native American North American red mulberry, which is larger, more succulent, sweeter. They're hybridizing. I've never tasted native red berry, red mulberry. I've always ever only had white mulberry, and some of them have been very good.
And you know, I haven't had a red mulberry. I've only seen one picture from Jed. He sent me, and the leaf was like a fig tree leaf.
Yes,
it was
massive.
Massive. just massive foliage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I need to grow that. I have to find it, and I have to grow that.
Good luck. I hope you do. I really do, because that would be nice to know that there are some. I've only found a few of them, and it's never been in the right season, but you can just tell from like the bark and the size of the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful, it's impressive tree. We should bonsai it.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Probably one of my craziest wild harvest things though was at my parents' house, and they had a tree limb that was about to fall onto their pawpaws. And I'm like, I will gladly take care of it, because there was a beehive in this giant branch that's probably 40 feet up. So I got a scissor lift, and I went up there with a chainsaw, and I hacked away until I got to this hive, which must have been 5 feet tall and well over 200 pounds of honey.
Oh my
gosh. This thing. And I basically used a small electric steel chainsaw and cut it in half. Like I booked it.
I cut it lengthwise
in half and opened it up, and basically took rubber bands and I cut out the comb, and I put them into the frames, and it took 2 days.
Yeah, to do it,
honestly.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it all done in one day, but thankfully it didn't rain or anything like that. But I successfully moved a beehive from a tree into an apiary. It's an insulated beehive.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
That's
fucking
incredible.
I have a beehive at my parents, and then a beehive at my house as well.
So you were already working with bees when you had to harvest this hive?
Yes. And I honestly got into bees because there was a beehive up there, and I knew that branch was going to come down. And if we were going to have to pay for some service to do it. I'm like, well, I already got the suit. I got the chainsaw. I might as well, take care of this myself. And it was the sweatiest, smokiest, most disgusting, stickiest I've ever been in my entire life.
And totally worth it, right?
But totally worth it. That's totally awesome. Worth it. Okay. I made my money's worth in honey, that's for
Heck
sure.
Yeah, you did.
I bet. Yeah, it's expensive. I work with a bee rescue service to get my honey, and it's definitely a valuable service.
Oh, that's awesome.
I gotta ask though, did you get stung?
I got stung hundreds of times.
Hell yeah!
Getting that. I mean, honeybee stings are nothing in comparison to a wasp sting.
Sure.
Like once you get stung a couple of times, you're like, that's annoying. That's really annoying. But I could totally understand their frustration, ripping through their home with a chainsaw.
Yeah, an admirable amount of empathy.
They dumped out. It was a sight to see, that's for sure.
Like a horror movie, like the mummy.
Yeah, exactly. Like the skin beetles.
Yeah. just pouring out of his mouth.
Yeah. It was one heck of an adventure. And borderline panic.
Oh, like, yeah, I bet. I bet that was a little terrifying.
When you're starting this, you realize that this is an event, and you have to finish it. Otherwise, I've just wasted my time.
And wasted so much honey and resources for the bees too. You know, it's not just you involved too.
Thankfully, it wasn't as crazy as a mess inside of it. What was interesting was finding a robin's nest in there with eggs that were like mummified in like honeycomb.
No way.
It was pretty crazy.
So you had like honey cured robin's eggs?
they It was more like the propolis was covering it, and they used that to like seal off stuff. It's antifungal. It helps keep the beehive clean, and they like use it to seal off areas, open areas like drafty and whatnot.
That's a pretty cool find, though. That's, yeah, I would imagine pretty surprising to find in there.
Yeah. Have you guys heard of Colombian star blackberries?
Colombian star blackberries, no. I have Chester. I think I have Chester blackberries or something like that.
You got those from Jed.
Yeah.
I got the same.
Guilty.
I got the same one. Yeah. It's so awesome. I got these Colombian star blackberries, and they are supposedly the largest red blackberry that's out there right now. So they're about like 2 to 3 inches in length. They're huge. They're absolutely huge. I just planted them, so I haven't seen the production for them yet. I still need to build the trellis. I think they're second year producers. They grow off a second year growth or whatever.
That's incredible.
Steve just pulled up a picture of them, of what the berries are supposed to look like, and those are gorgeous.
Yeah, they're absolutely gorgeous. And I'm like, you know what? I have endless amounts of fertilizer to feed all of these plants.
Yes, you do.
Endless amounts of fertilizer.
So
they
you
can
have that...
all the chicken poop they want.
Yeah, no kidding. And chicken poops is a very underrated fertilizer.
Definitely.
Shout out Steve. Yeah. Tomatoes.
Got all kinds of it.
How many chickens do you have, Steve?
I only have 4. I have 2 Barred Rock and then 2 Rhode Island Red.
Oh, I love those. I have, I got these new ones this year. They're Lavender Orpingtons.
Oh, I've seen those.
And they're like
gorgeous.
They're like gray, blue, purpley looking.
Mm-hmm.
And the feathers are so soft.
How many do you have?
Absolutely. I have a mixed batch. I probably have 50 chickens.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
So like yeah, just around 50 chickens here. And then my parents have, I think, like 30.
Nice.
30 chickens over there. Yeah. I sell my eggs to my coworkers. And my cousin, who's an elementary school teacher, she takes all my eggs from me.
Nice.
She takes all of them. It's pretty awesome. I love taking care of the birds.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though it's
they're the coolest pets.
-7 outside right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you give them light so they're still laying, or are they kind of like in their dormant period?
Well, since these are newer chickens, they're laying every day. My older chickens, which are like 3 years old, they're laying like every 3 days. So the baby production's definitely coming out, which is awesome because I can still be selling eggs to make money to buy the bird feed.
Sure, right? It's got to be at least like a closed loop, and you can't be losing money.
Definitely not.
Yeah. And that's the convenience of having the younger chickens. I think this spring I'm going to try to, if I can afford it, build another coop and do turkeys.
Oh,
I really want to do turkeys.
Or you have any interest in quail?
If I can be swayed, if that's possible, what are the quails for, more or less? I haven't eaten it. I haven't consumed the eggs or anything like that. Or
yeah, I mean, they're just as edible birds.
I don't know much about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would even say that they're, I mean, quail are, like, if you stack them side by side nutritionally, sure, they're smaller, but they're more nutritionally dense than a chicken egg. If you look at the if you look at the nutritional facts side by side,
and safer to eat raw
and take up way less space. I think a quail needs like I don't know, like 1.6 cubic feet minimum, of course. But, you know, like people raise quail in essentially what looks like a giant bookshelf, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I personally, if I, it's something I'm considering, and if I do it, I'm going to do like, yeah, I could guess more of like a free range. So I want to create like a little quail oasis.
Yeah, a little prairie, you know? Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, some wild grass and stuff like that. I mean,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, there's a really cool conservation organization that I've paid attention to for the last couple of years, just because I like buy their calendar or whatever, and it's Pheasants and Quails Forever, and their conservation program that's really dedicated to, I mean, and most hunting licensing programs and stuff like that, the money really does go back into the programming and the purpose of their objective, you know, whatever they're saying they're going to do. And PFQF is like all about restoring like local marshlands and grasslands and stuff like that, so that we can increase quail population. So they are like a really cool animal that is around here. Ever heard of a prairie chicken?
No.
Kind of coming out of left field at you with that one, but I saw a prairie chicken once and it like bewildered me. It was like so colorful and I didn't know that there was such a thing. Yeah, I had no idea there was such a thing. Sorry.
That's awesome. We went on a little bit of a tirade. We have wild turkeys where I live, and they come through my yard in the spring, and it's like 10 of them. And they walk back and forth, and they're absolutely beautiful birds.
Mm-hmm.
My dogs don't like them, but part of my backyard, I really wanted to do some sort of, not necessarily a nature preserve. I have something, I think it's called a vomp or something like that, where it's not technically a swamp, but it's not technically a pond.
Yeah.
And essentially, so two sections of the season, and currently right now, it floods, but it goes away, so I can't have fish.
Right.
So.
But you have thousands of chorus frogs in the springtime, I bet.
And mosquitoes. Yes, it is.
Oh, damn.
It is so loud, and it is so many mosquitoes, and it makes watering. I mean, it's a couple hours watering every day. It makes that a little bit tough, but luckily I have a bee suit that I can just slap on that breathes well, and I can just get the watering done.
Multi-purpose, nice.
Yeah, absolutely. But so I'm in the middle of transitioning a chunk of my backyard from that swampy area, and I'm putting in an actual lake, because I do want to bring in more migrating birds. I love bird watching.
Heck yeah.
All of that stuff, and having them in my backyard. And, you know, there's a lot of prairie grass, so there's a great areas for them to nest. And, you know, I just want to create an oasis for the animals, because in Oswego, it is getting overdeveloped. They're putting neighborhoods and schools everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I want to preserve that as much as I can here and have the, you know, natural area. But, you know, with a lot more fruit trees, a lot more fruits. And, you know, I want to be able to take some and give some back. Plant, you know, raspberries and all of that in the backyard,
sure.
So they can enjoy it and not come up to my house and then take all of it.
Yeah, definitely.
No kidding. Yeah.
Do you have any bat houses by chance?
I do not have bat houses, but what I do have is a barn.
Oh yeah, that's like a giant bat house.
It is a haven for bats. Like hundreds and hundreds of bats fly in and out of that barn when it's summertime. Then they migrate out.
Sure.
But currently our barn is filled with wild pigeons.
Oh, very cool.
There are maybe like
bats of the day.
13 pigeons that live in that barn and occasionally get picked off by the hawks that live in the area.
Sure.
You can. It's pretty crazy watching the hawks attack the pigeons.
So, is there a do you have a favorite wild mushroom that you like to forage?
This year was my first year actually going out and looking for wild mushrooms.
Ooh, okay. And, so, what'd you find?
So, I'm a novice to it. I ended up getting a lot of turkey tail.
Sure.
The maple trees that I cut down that had the beehive in it, all of it's riddled with turkey tail. Like, just, it is pretty amazing sight to see is how much and how prolific that it grows where we cut it down. So we're just letting it go, and then I can just harvest that. I think my favorite best find, though, was the reishi mushroom that I found in my backyard. I sent you a picture of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. I had no idea that they grew in our area. So I cut it off the tree, and I cut a section off, and I put it, like, back onto, I don't know if it's actually going to help spread spores,
yeah,
or anything like that, but I put it onto another cut mulberry tree that it was essentially growing off of.
Awesome.
In hopes that it will continue the growth on that. But
yeah,
I haven't consumed it yet. I was able to dry it. I mean, it is the prettiest looking mushroom, I think.
Yeah. Oh, they're beautiful.
Super shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as that, I think those were the only two. I did plant in my mulch. I put wine cap mushroom spawn.
Oh, awesome!
And it said it would. I got it from Northern Spore. They said it would be like 3 months, and I didn't see any wine cap come up this year. I don't know if it was because it was too hot or anything. I thought they were pretty durable, but what did come up was stinkhorn.
Lots of
stinkhorn came up. And I didn't know much about it. They're absolutely foul smelling, but you can eat the pre-stinkhorn called the witch's egg.
Mm-hmm.
So before it actually comes out, then you eat the witch's egg. I'm not brave enough to do it. It looks like a slimy eyeball.
Yeah, and from what I understand, it pretty much tastes and feels like a slimy eyeball too. It's got like a weird grit in it. Have you ever eaten an eyeball?
No, I can't say that I have.
Oh,
I'm
the only person who's eaten an eyeball in this conversation.
Sorry, guy.
Holy moly!
Yeah, well, I know. I you'd think I would eat something gross, but I think I couldn't stomach it.
I cooked a couple of salmon heads last year, and I caught a whole trout, and so I've eaten fish eyes. So, okay.
Awesome.
We're almost out of time for this episode, but I wanted to ask if you had any specific, like, anything you were going to try and forage this year. Do you have any goals of anything you're trying to pick?
I think I'm definitely going to be going more. I'm going to spend a lot more time mushroom hunting this year. I need to find my spots. I don't know really any people that go out and forage. I am a part of the micro mycology group, Illinois.
Yeah, the Northern Illinois.
Yes, nice. But I can't make it out to a lot of the events, so
sure.
I feel like I'm definitely missing out on a lot of those big adventures.
It's all right. We can have small adventures.
Got plenty of time, yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think I'm going to try to do some more mushroom scavenging and not picking mulberries, because I think I overdid it with the amount of time I had off from surgery. I got about maybe 70 to 70 pounds ish of mulberries.
Geez, dude.
Yeah, it was a lot. I mean, every 2 days this tree just kept flushing out mulberries, and that's why I needed its genetics.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, man.
I'm very excited for spring, and I want to have a giant head start. Get as many fig cuttings as possible, as many mulberry cuttings as possible.
Nice. Yeah, you're off to a good start.
Put it out there and give them to people, and I think that's kind of my goal. Spread the, you know, infinite abundance that we have at our fingertips. You just need to learn how to look and how to produce it. Take care of it.
True that, Douglas. Man, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. We're really happy to find another person of similar interest around the area. We'll definitely have to meet up sometime, and like maybe if you like the bartering thing, trade you some hot sauce for some cuttings or some fig trees or something, you know, hook you up.
Absolutely, we can do that for sure.
Cool, man. Well, don't find Douglas on the internet because he's not there.
You can email me though if you have questions about certain stuff.
Hey, what's the email?
And that's totally fine. It's DouglasPatterson405@gmail.com.
You heard it here, folks. Flood his inbox.
Otherwise, you can catch Douglas on his next appearance on the Wild Edible World podcast.
Word.
Absolutely.
In person.
You guys post it.
Ooh, in person.
Yes,
I like that.
That would be great.
Heck yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you guys would be, you're more than welcome to come here once cold season's over.
Oh, we will intrude.
Yeah. you're going to regret that, my friend. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Thanks so much, Douglas.
Yeah, it was a pleasure chatting with you, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
You too, man. Stay warm out there.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye. Douglas!
Oh, man, what a cool guy. So many facets.
Yeah, right? So many facets, a lot of different interests. Reminds me a lot of myself. But yeah, man, get out there, keep picking, find those mushrooms, you know?
Yeah.
It's a whole different world than plants. And can you imagine what this guy is going to do once he finds something to get obsessed about with the mushrooms?
Yeah.
He's going to have like a whole freaking mushroom farm, and like he's going to be one of those dudes growing cordyceps out of eggs.
Yes.
You ever see that?
Yeah.
Freaky.
Yeah.
Freaky stuff. But yeah, I mean, somebody's got to do it. So it's been a really cool guest. It was fun to talk to him. Can't wait to meet him and check out some of his trees and his 50 freaking chickens, I guess.
Yeah, he's not on social media, but luckily we are. So
yeah,
we'll show you what his stuff looks like.
Yeah, yeah. He sent us some pictures. So we'll definitely, whenever we post this episode, we'll share a bunch of the pictures that he sent us of like his farm and a bunch of his like grow room. A picture of him standing next to a huge slab of what do you call it? What was it?
I don't remember.
It was a softwood. It's a oh my gosh, I'm gonna remember it as soon as it's got like slippy.
Looks like you'll have to check
massive.
The Instagram.
Yeah, you'll have to check the Instagram for this big ass tree. But thanks for listening as always, guys. Check out our merch. Check out our hot sauce. Follow Steve at Stevie Cantu. Follow me at Edible Illinois. Share the show. Tell your friends. Give them a hug. Tell them you love them.
Twice a day.
Because we love you.
We love you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Wowie, wow! We've got a new hot sauce for you.
It's so delicious.
It's spicy.
It's spicier, for sure.
Spicier. It's called Harvest Moon, made with ghost peppers, American persimmons,
and spice bush berry.
It's going to be great. We also have t-shirts available. Brand new t-shirts.
The best t-shirts, I think.
Baseball tees.
Scrumpers United.
If you've collected apples, if you've collected fruit... You're
welcome
a scrum-
to the club.
Welcome to a club. You're a scrumper. So check out our merch store, wildedibleworldpod.myshopify.com.
Wowie, wow!